south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. In picking up where I left off last time, as you've probably noticed, occasionally I do speak about Mormons on this show because, well, they're everywhere. In fact, I have to admit, in the last two or three years, I've seen many more Mormons around than in the past. And those simple but expensive Mormon churches, they're popping up everywhere. So, what's that all about? Well, most people would never pick up on this, but there's a very special reason for that, and I'll get to it in a moment. Maybe special is the wrong word. Let's just say you'll never guess in a million years why so many Mormons are down here these days. But first, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that I actually had a Mormon come to one of my expat wisdom seminars, believe it or not. And this guy, as of now, I guess, must be about 45 years old. Anyway, he told me he did a stint as a young guy down here in Latin America. So, being that he loved it so much in Latin America when he was doing that Mormon thing, and hasn't been back to Latin America for maybe 20 years, he just thought it'd be a good idea to visit his old stomping grounds and maybe even live down here. And I'll tell you right now, he's a fallen Mormon. How far has he fallen? Well, I don't know, but he tells me he's fallen quite a ways, you know? Anyway, he came down to one of my expat wisdom Latin American seminars, and now, get this, while down here he had so many ideas that he ended up starting a business within 3 months, and although I kind of lost track of him and he hasn't been in touch for a while, I assume he's doing well. And I'll tell you, he's certainly doing well in the love and romance department because I understand that within a couple of weeks of coming down to the seminar, he already had a permanent girlfriend. A girlfriend, by the way, who speaks no English, which I can tell you by personal experience, is the very, very best way to learn your Spanish. But I digress as usual. Anyway, speaking of my upcoming Latin American Expat Wisdom Seminar, which will be in January 2015. Now, I know most of you guys and gals listening to this program know you have to leave the United States, especially those of you who listen to Richard Martin's show. He and I both have a big crossover listenership. That said, if you listen to him, you're really tuned in about getting out of Chicago, Cleveland, New York, or anywhere up in the States. You know you have to make your move sometime, and it better be soon. You've got to get off your dead butt sooner or later. And I know just thinking about it is kind of stressful. So, why not come on down here to Central America in January and get on the fast track to becoming an expat down here in Latin America? And remember, it's not just a boring sit in a hotel room, watch a PowerPoint seminar. There's at least 50% boots on the ground, and I'll introduce you to all the professional contacts you need, so you can't help but get off on the right foot. And that's where new expats always stumble. The hardest part is finding good, honest, reliable professionals. You know, lawyers, accountants, doctors, builders, construction people, IT specialists, etc. So when you come down, I'll introduce you to my personal contacts, the people I highly recommend. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link for full information. And get this, if you come as a couple or two people, double occupancy in the hotel rooms, you'll save $1,000. Yep, $1,000. So check it out. What have you got to lose? And even if you don't think you're ever going to come down here to live in Latin America, think of this. Everyone, and I mean everyone up in the first world, needs a plan B. It's an even better plan A, but it also is a great plan B. So, once again, go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link for full information. As of now, we're a little bit more than 3 months away from liftoff, which gives you plenty of time to make your flight arrangements and such. So, do check out the link and get in early. Remember, to keep this very personalized and one-on-one, there'll be no more than 25 people on the trip. So I'm asking all you guys and gals up there in Montreal, Seattle, Boston, and Cleveland, what's your plan B? Do you even have one? You'd better get one, and fast. Where were we now? Oh yeah, talking about Mormons. So, how many soul-saving Mormons are there in Latin America? Well, the truth is, nobody down here really knows. They're not congregated in groups, but spread out all over the place. Let me put it this way. If, for example, you're out on the road in your car every day going to work back and forth, or whatever, especially if you're in a congested part of a big city, it could actually happen that not a day goes by when you don't see a Mormon or two. As a matter of fact, you never really see one Mormon. They're always in twos or threes or fours. Now, isn't that strange? And if you're paying attention, you'll notice there's always one Nordic-looking blonde guy, very tall, very white, often suffering with a terrible sunburn and a trucker's tan. After all, they are walking around in the sun all day, spreading the word, saving people from hellfire and such. So, like I said, there's always a tall, white, Nordic-looking guy, often with a G.I. Joe buzz cut. And more often than not, his partner is a dark, short, black-haired Latin type, decked out in typical Mormon duds, too. Those are the kind of traveling Mormon pairs you'll see all over Latin America. Matter of fact, the other day I was visiting one of my long-term expat friends who owns one of these maquilas down here in Latin America. You know, one of those big clothing factories. And he told me he was watching that show on cable, you probably know it, Big Love, about that Mormon guy and his wives, played by Bill Paxton. Yep, it's down here too and dubbed in Spanish, by the way. And strangely enough, instead of calling it Gran Amor, which would be Big Love in Spanish, it's called Big Love down here too, even though nobody knows what that means. At least 90% of Spanish speakers down here don't. Now, get this. My gringo friend, while he was watching that show, he heard Bill Paxton, the principal Mormon star of the show, mention that he and his Mormon family were going to take a trip, a pilgrimage to Guatemala, Central America, to a place called Lake Atitlan, to be precise. Then my gringo friend told me the Mormon guy, Bill Paxton, went on to explain to his wife, or all of his wives, that there just might be some doubt about where the Mormon promised land was supposed to be. That their leader Smith may have made a mistake with the Great Salt Lake, and instead, it may be that they're supposed to be in Guatemala, Central America instead, at a place called Lake Atitlan, which fits their long-dead leader Joseph Smith's prophetic description precisely. At least that's what some Mormon scholars have been hinting at. In fact, some of these guys are saying that it was a small geographical error that John Smith made 175 years ago when he received the, quote, word and headed out on that pilgrimage from the East Coast in the States to the Promised Land, which turned out to be the Great Salt Lake. In fact, now with Google Earth and all our topographic technology, Lake Atitlan in Guatemala looks like a better candidate than the Great Salt Lake. But unfortunately, Joe Smith didn't have Google Earth to guide him. So should old Joe Smith's wagon train have taken a left at the Mississippi instead of Westward Ho? Who knows? Oh, and by the way, for all you youngsters out there, Westward Ho is not a rap song. So it turns out in the last few years, and not just on that Big Love HBO show, Mormons are curious and they're coming down to Central America to check it out. If you want more proof, just go on the internet and search Book of Mormon Tours. Yes, I said Book of Mormon Tours. Mormons really have their own internal tour agencies. So if you're a Mormon, a true believer, you can get discount package deals, weekends, whole weeks, even months, if you want to hang around, discover, and explore the alternative promised land, Site B. In fact, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't checked it out myself. So there you have it. If you come to Central America, especially Guatemala, the Mormons have arrived. In fact, they're here in such a big way, you can't help noticing them everywhere. And, of course, they're spectacular churches. And always, and I mean always, those churches are beautifully manicured sparkling gems in a sea of scruffy, grungy, Latin middle-class neighborhoods. And, you know, I have to mention that Mormon churches are so well-groomed and so nice that I've heard Latin middle-class folks mention, ones that aren't Mormons, that they wouldn't want to knock on the door and go in because, well, they're just too spotless and grand and they feel self-conscious and a bit uncomfortable walking in. In fact, one local guy who lives right down the street from a Mormon church, he told me that it's been there about 7 years and never has there been a blade of grass out of place. He said he'd never even been inside. Not that he didn't want to take a peek, but he said, "Who, me? No, you kidding? I'd have to buy a new pair of shoes just to step foot in the place." So that's a middle-class Latin neighbor's take on it anyway. That said, don't think it's time for Mormons to change their ad agency or marketing strategy. Not just yet. Even if their neighborhood churches seem a bit too tidy, cold, and out of place down here in Latin America, they must be making headway. There seems to be a major effort going on down here. That is, based on the numbers of Mormon pairs you see clomping around. Now, speaking of the simple life, I remember way back when in Chicago, in catechism class, I think I was in fourth or fifth grade, I distinctly remember asking one of the nuns just how poor was Jesus. Yep, I was always a smartass, even then. Anyway, I did ask that. And if I recall, I think the nun said he had one good robe for the Sabbath, two pairs of sandals, and a change of underwear. Though I think she might have made that story up as she went along, because I don't recall hearing about that in the Bible. But I could be wrong. And you know, one day, remembering that, I asked a Mormon guy I ran into, I think it was in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. I asked him about their distinctive get-ups. And he said, too, that all Mormons in the field are equipped with a complete change of clothes, two pairs of shoes and two suspenders and one backpack. Regulation Mormon issue, of course. But here's what you didn't know. And man, this shocked me. One Mormon guy told me that when young Mormons go through this thing called the endowment ceremony, whatever that is, they actually get a set of holy underwear. Of course, we only see the usual uniform because that underwear, I suppose, is underneath all that. So again, at a certain point in a Mormon's life, he's issued holy underwear. Holy long johns, that's what they look like. Check it out on the internet. They've got pictures. I'm not kidding. Then I thought, I have a couple of sets of those myself. Doesn't every guy? Just had to throw that in there, you know. But seriously, they're issued holy underwear. And he said that they believe that this garment will protect them from fire, bullets, knives, and other assaults. I'm not making this up. Look it up. It's true. And although the Mormon guy I spoke to didn't show me his, and believe me, I had no desire to take a peek. And after hearing that story about being protected and all that, I asked him if he'd ever been mugged. I got the usual answer. Mugged? You mean assaulted? Of course not. So is it due to that holy underwear? Well, they think so. And when I asked him how successful the Mormons were in recruiting down here in Latin America, he smiled and said they've had great success. But deep down I knew they'd never really make serious headway in Latin America, not as long as their church continues to put the kibosh on dancing. I mean, in Latin America, that'd be like outlawing tequila or soccer. Or, heaven forbid, that would be like telling a Latin guy he can't womanize or cheat on his taxes. You see, Latins are born to dance, and to tell them they can't, well, that's un-American. Un-Latin American, that is. So, all you Mormon elders out there, take heed. All right, enough said about that. Now, if you remember, I did a couple of shows from the Dominican Republic about a month or so ago. And of course, as you might expect, we have some listeners in the DR. Mostly well-traveled gringos and true expats. So naturally, after I did those couple of shows, I got my usual share of emails. This time, quite a few of them coming from the DR. And I think you're going to like this little set of emails that I've compiled from one of our steady listeners who calls himself Cadillac. So without further ado, I'll combine a couple of his emails, and I'm sure you're going to find this pretty interesting. Again, I'll be paraphrasing and hitting some of the high points. Here goes. Hey, Johnny, I want to thank you for your podcast. Man, I'm new to Progressive Radio Network, and I thought there was no one to brainstorm with on my life in the Dominican Republic, and I really appreciate that there's someone out there to replenish my faith. Anyway, Johnny, I caught all your DR shows, but I think you were mostly on the coastal touristy areas. You didn't get into doing business in the DR in the principal business cities. Anyway, I'm in Santiago, DR, the second largest city with about 600,000 people, and recently, since last year, I've seen a lot of lifestyle enterprise business startups. Now, I don't know the long-term objectives for some of these businesses because, you know, there is a lack of adequate, stable middle class down here. In fact, in some of these lifestyle enterprise sort of businesses, I'm not sure if it's the same company or not that's just moving around to other locations or a low-key franchise deal. Or maybe they're just a bunch of brand new individual businesses that happen to pop up. Okay, it's me again. I'll pop in here. I assume he's talking about lifestyle enterprises, which are basically modern first world style department stores of a sort. that are just loaded to the gills with tons of Asian and Chinese import goods. You know, not expensive stuff, but not exactly cheap. Not to first world people anyway. You know, hardware, furniture, cheap art, bedding, knickknacks, tools, etc. Kind of like a downscale Sears store with a lot of off-brands, mostly Chinese stuff. Wait a minute. Sears is filled with all kinds of mediocre Chinese products now, isn't it? Oh well. So anyway, like Cadillac says, those big no-name department store chains that are popping up everywhere in Latin America, including the DR, which includes a new glut of strip malls and shopping centers, by the way. Anyway, these new places loaded with Chinese products, the same junk that stocks the shelves up in shopping centers in the first world, service the middle and upper middle classes. And like he said, in the DR, you've got the very poor and the very rich and the middle class. Well, that's a tough one to put your finger on. There ain't much of it. Now, you might remember a couple of shows ago, I mentioned that Dominicans are always trying to get into Puerto Rico because it's very close by. Now, of course, only 1 in 50 can qualify under the terms of getting a visa, so they sneak in illegally. By boat, of course. And why Puerto Rico? Because it's a U.S. territory, which makes it a closer step on the way to getting to their ultimate destination, the U.S. mainland. Which is, by the way, every middle and lower class Latin's dream destination, don't you know? Or I should say at least 98 or 99% of them. And believe me, no matter what you think of that, no matter how twisted or even somewhat traitorous that sounds, I mean, so many millions and millions of Latins who will give up anything to end up in the U.S., of course, abandoning their beloved home country in the process. Remember, if it wasn't for the fact that they'd love to be up in the States, that Latins emulate and copy everything gringo, we expats wouldn't have that terrific gringo advantage going for us when we move down here. Anyway, Cadillac, our DR expat, goes on to write, "Another thing, Johnny, is that Puerto Rico is only 30 miles from the DR, not 100 miles like you mentioned. So, if you can make it through the Mona Passage in a Yola, which is a cheap rickety rowboat, without drowning, then you just might make it to Mayagüez or San Germán on the western coast of Puerto Rico. And yes, Johnny, by the way, Dominican people are black, some very black, and like you say, they will bend over backwards not to be considered so. Now, that seems weird to me, and it does to so many expats here. But my take on it is that it's their useless cultural folklores and whatnot that gives Dominicans these inconsistencies. Okay, it's me, Johnny, again. I'd like to add something here. The fact is, very, very few Dominicans admit they have black ancestry. Instead, they claim Latin blood. And though only 5 to 10% of Dominicans admit their African ancestry, even on official forms, the real number is 90% or more. In fact, about a month ago, when I was in the DR, I actually watched a TV news documentary report on that very topic. They had psychologists and sociologists and political people talking about how badly screwed up their national registry of persons is. A country's national registry is where people and birth certificates are recorded and where they issue people official documents like birth certificates and passports and cédulas, etc., etc. The fact is, so many Dominicans lie about their ancestry that certain government registries are a disaster. In fact, one of the sociologists on that TV program said, "Dominicans live in a culture of lies." Well, that's good to know, huh? But let's get back to our email. Cadillac goes on to say, "Damn it, Johnny, I'm so tired of those nutjob Mormons here in the DR. Now, I heard your show about the pharmacists seeing all those Mormons in Guatemala. Well, I see them all over the place in the DR, too. The real issue as to why Mormons can easily attract local people to their cause is that Mormon churches are really state-of-the-art, while the Protestant-slash-evangelical churches are usually remarkably ramshackle buildings just kind of pieced together. Of course, the Catholic Church has the most buildings of all, but then they've operated as a monopoly for about 400 years down here. I feel if the locals just would burn all these buildings down and drove all the frauds into the countryside like Pol Pot, they wouldn't be half as poor or destitute in the first place. Then he says, you know, you had a good show about things you could do to help Latins develop first world attitudes and first world success patterns. The way I see it, those NGOs and big-time charities that just say, give us your money, don't worry what we do with it, we'll help the poor and you'll never have to get your hands dirty. Donate and leave it to us. Now, I know that kind of talk makes a lot of first world people feel good, but it falls on deaf ears with me. You know, Johnny, you should also give out more ideas to us expats and gringos, us smarter ones that don't give out money to phony-ass charities whose organizers drive around in brand new Land Cruisers. You might not believe it, but I see a lot of that down here in the DR too. We need some more ideas on how we can help out the people locally in our neighborhoods where we are. Then he changes gears a bit and says, now, being that I'm a single guy, I'd just like to give you a few notes on the mating and dating situation in the DR, Colombia, and Venezuela, places that I've been. From my experience, there seems to be more women to men in these countries. A good thing, right? Anyway, as far as most gringos who are single that come down to Latin America, from my experience, it seems that many of them have some early pitfalls and false starts because they don't know how to manage a relationship or talk to these women. But that's just my own take on it. I find myself in this situation quite a bit when I'm talking to women, eligible single women, with very limited exposure not only to the world, but to their own country. They have limited education and limited experiences. So people like us, first world gringos, I find, tend to get bored with their company. Eventually, that happens if you're spending a great deal of social time with them. In other words, what I'm saying is a bright, intelligent, knowledgeable gringo can get pretty bored with some of these women. So as an antidote, I find it's best not to spread yourself thin socially. Get around, meet a lot of people, and if you're single, go out on a lot of different dates to a lot of different places with a lot of different people. Which directly leads me to another thing. For me, it's the difficulty in finding suitable people to associate with. I consider myself open-minded and open to people unless the relationship veers off in a bad direction. Then he goes on to say, so I don't strictly or harshly judge people until the necessity arises and I absolutely have to. That said, let me cut to the chase. Here it is. It's true, there are so many self-righteous bums with a huge sense of entitlement. You see that all the time down here in the DR. I've met a ton of them. These are people with no couth who solely see you as a cajero automático, that's a human ATM. I've met people that'll tell you any lie under the sun to get you in their confidence. Because after all, you're the first world person with money and you can do a lot for them. That's the way they look at it. They absolutely want to hitch their wagon to a first world gringo. Now, based on your reports, Johnny, I can only assume it's the same everywhere, all throughout Latin America, but I didn't experience this much in Mexico or Brazil. But in the DR, well. For example, I heard just in the past 2 weeks down here, the same story from three different women about how their kids didn't have anything to eat. Now, this may be true, but this really isn't my responsibility. And of course, it gets much worse during Christmas and the holidays. Apparently, everyone gets appendicitis 3 days before Christmas, and guess who they tell the story to? That said, understandably, I occasionally get a bit depressed from time to time down here. That is, until I heard you utter the phrase, quote, the gringo advantage, unquote. Now, as selective as I try to be with making friends down here in the DR, with the locals, that is, it still doesn't matter because the expectation is that you are either Daddy Warbucks with the dough or everyone's sugar daddy. That can be a lot of stress, you know? That said, I think I'm about half of the age of most of the people that take your expat seminars, which also gives me a totally different perspective because I'm not an old fogey with limited use of the language living in an isolated expat community. Like I said, I live in Santiago, a big city with over 500,000 people, but I do favor the English language TV programs just so I can get my daily fix of normalcy and humor. And one last thing, I know you speak on your show occasionally about personal hygiene in Latin America. Now, as far as the DR, I don't think it's much of an issue. In fact, Dominicans, as a rule, are quite vain in their zealous attention to their appearance, which is quite odd to me, really. Because, like you say, when the average adult only has an income of about $250 to $300 a month, how is it that the vast majority seem to waste it all before the next paycheck at the beauty parlor and shopping center, etc., buying handbags, jewelry, shoes, and of course, alcohol? In the DR, everyone has to look good, even if they're sitting around with nothing to do all day. Well, anyway, that's enough for now. Keep up the great work, Cadillac. Okay, now let's talk about a few of his points. As you know, I always recommend stay off the Gringo and First World Tourist Trail. And though the Dominican Republic has a lot of towns and villages that seem to be well off the tourist trail, the problem is there are so many tourists flooding into the country that when locals do see and come in contact with the odd gringo, it's not such a strange and pleasant surprise. It's not nearly the same effect we have on locals off the gringo tourist trail in Honduras, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Bolivia, etc. So in those sun and fun Caribbean places like the DR, all locals have seen us around in one place or another. And, of course, when you're on an island like that, you can never be truly isolated. So in many cases and many places, that gringo advantage is either gone or much diminished. And then, like Panama and Costa Rica, we truly are dollar signs in the eyes of the locals. That's why almost every single email I've gotten from expats in the DR, they tell me the people are jaded, just like they are in Mexico and Costa Rica and Panama and on the gringo tourist trail elsewhere. So, just like I've said in many of my past shows, the Dominican Republic is a great place to go for a couple of weeks vacation, but I wouldn't want to live there. Even if I had unlimited dough, there are 1,000 places in Latin America more desirable than the DR, as far as I'm concerned. Now, for those of you who might say, well, the DR has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. Well, I've been there and I've been to the so-called most beautiful beaches in the DR, and they are beautiful when you look at them from a boat or a beach chair. But unfortunately, I've snorkeled many of those beaches. And on the bottom, close to shore or otherwise, every 10 or 20 feet you'll see a piece of plastic or other such man-made garbage that you just don't see in Roatan or Belize.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.